This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Keith Femian. He's the Republican nominee for Congress in Virginia's 11th Congressional District. And now, of course, we're just 8 days away from the 2010 midterm elections, and the Virginia 11 race is considered one of the tightest in the country, and Republicans are looking at that as a major pickup opportunity. And Keith, it's great to have you with us in studio.
Thank you.
Well, I asked this of a lot of the candidates. Why are you in this race? We should point out that you ran 2 years ago against the incumbent Jerry Connolly back when that was an open seat. Why are you back in the race this time?
Hey, listen, if we don't get people in these seats who know how to create jobs as I do, as I've done my whole career, we are likely to drive this country over a cliff at high speed. We have men like Jerry Connolly have never created a job. He has no idea how to create a job. He therefore cannot fix what's broke. In fact, I would argue he broke what's broke. We're here because of him and people like him, not in spite of him. By way of background, I'm a 7-year CPA with the international accounting firm of KPMG. And then I started my company 24 years ago in a room above a garage with my brother and another partner. That company today is nationwide. We've created hundreds of jobs, and I know what conditions need to exist for someone like me to invest and create more jobs or to start a company and get off the ground. And our government is not doing anything to help the small businessman or the entrepreneur.
Go through that quickly. What do you see as the keys to creating an environment where job creation can take off again?
Eliminate uncertainty. Plain and simple. That's the single most important thing the government can do. I came up with a 7-point job creation plan on my website. Cut cap gains taxes on startups for 5 years would be a great way to start. By eliminating a known cost at the end of the investment horizon, you change the risk profile of every investment in America, and people would be willing to invest knowing that that cost is not there. So right now, cap gains taxes are 15%. The question is, are they going to go to 25%? Are they going to go to 30%? By eliminating that uncertainty, you would do an enormous amount to allay the fears of investors. Right now, American corporations are sitting on 30% more cash than they were 2 years ago. And the reason is they're afraid to invest because they don't know what's going to happen. So eliminating that known cost would be a big incentive. The other thing that I would do, another point in my job creation plan, is extend the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts indefinitely. Again, you're communicating to the markets what's going to happen or what's not going to happen, and you're allaying fears. You're calming the markets down. You're giving people the incentive to evaluate the risks now, knowing that certain things are not going to happen or are going to happen, and they're going to be more comfortable investing.
And so when you talk about extending the Bush tax cuts, that's all the income tax brackets as well as estate tax being wiped out, dividend, cap gains, everything. What about spending? Where do you start there in getting this debt under control?
Everywhere. Start everywhere. Look, we're borrowing 40% of our budget. What household does that? We all borrow money for a mortgage that we pay down over time, but no one borrows 40% of their operating budget. That'd be like you and me running out of money on the 20th of the month and going to the most expensive restaurant in town the remaining 10 days of the month and using our credit card to buy the meal. This is wrong what we're doing. And these politicians allow it because they care only about getting reelected. They literally know nothing but to throw money at a problem. Jerry Connolly is a great example. His career has been marked by massive increases in taxes and massive increases in spending. And throwing money at a problem is not going to work. You've got to grow the economy. You've got to cut spending everywhere you can. What I would do is I would incent the federal worker, who is a very talented, very knowledgeable person. Their boss's 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 boss, political appointee boss, doesn't know what they do, but they do. And in my company, what we do is we incent those people for efficiency, and we reward them with bonuses. Moreover, if there's 20 people in a department in my company and one of them leaves, we ask the other 19, do you want to replace that position or not? And if you don't, we'll split the savings with you. Well, guess what? We hardly ever rehire because the whole organization is directed to efficiency, which means fewer people doing more work. We automate better. We're always thinking. And in the early years of the company, when I have team meetings Friday afternoons, I'd go from team to team and sit there and listen. And I'd always ask, what are you doing that you think is not worth your time that our clients don't need, internal or external constituents don't need? If you ask your employees that question, they'll tell you far more than you want to hear. But if you're smart, you'll listen carefully to what they say. And I did, and we built a very efficient company. Look, what was then here at the federal government. It's a new paradigm. We need to break China and go forward, incenting the federal worker to find efficiencies, to do more with less, reward them for doing that. They will find the inefficiency, the waste, the fraud. You watch what happens. If you have 1,000 people in a federal department and 40 leave 1 year because of retirement, attrition, a spouse moves, whatever, and you say to the other 960, if you don't rehire, we're going to take 20 of those 40 salaries and split it up among you. You do that 5 years in a row, you watch what happens. The federal worker is the most powerful ally we've got in this fight of reducing government, or rather making government more efficient, I should say. And we need to leverage that asset, that enormous asset, in our favor.
We're talking with Keith Vimian. He's the Republican nominee for Congress in Virginia's 11th Congressional District. And Keith, let's talk a little bit about the campaign ads. In some of these races we cover, we have to search for the ads on the internet. I live in the district that you're running in, so I see these ads all the time. Jerry Connolly's had an ad up basically saying, I voted against the Wall Street bailout. I voted to keep all the tax cuts where they are. What should voters know when they see that ad?
Look, Connolly calls himself now a pragmatic moderate, even though he's voted with Nancy Pelosi 97% of the time. That is a statistical fact. The man has voted with Nancy Pelosi 32 out of 33 votes. He is not a pragmatic moderate, unless Nancy Pelosi's become a Republican. And he calls himself a deficit hawk. He has voted for $3 trillion in new spending. The 2007 budget of the entire federal government, was $2.9 trillion. Jerry Connolly has voted for more than that in new spending in just the 18 months he's been in office. This man is no deficit hawk. He is a tax and spend liberal politician that is driving this country over a cliff at high speed. We must get spending under control, and we will not do it with people like him. And what happens at election time, of course, is they pivot off what they've done and try to completely dupe the public into thinking they're something they're not. He is no fiscal conservative or friend of smaller government, and is laughable to think otherwise. And his record demonstrates as much.
Well, very last question. Obviously, it's a rematch from 2008. He came out on top, and it was a very Democratic year. The environment seems different. How much of a difference are you seeing on the campaign trail as you go around the area and talk to the voters?
Big. I'm going to win this election. I'm going to win because I'm focused on jobs, spending, and the economy, which is what voters want to hear about. I know how to create jobs. I know how to get spending under control. I'm a seven-year CPA, Pete Mark, as I said, and that background gives me skills that we don't have in Congress. In fact, I'd be only the sixth current or former CPA, believe it or not, only the 12th entrepreneur, believe it or not, only the fourth patent holder. So these skills are things that don't exist in Congress in great abundance, and I think I can bring those skills and experience to the table that that certainly Jerry Connolly lacks, and I think a great many of the members in Congress, and I think I can have an impact. The voters know that here in the 11th, and that's why they're responding so favorably. And if I could conclude by saying their favorable response is reflected best this way. Connolly raised $427,000 or thereabouts in the third quarter. I raised $1,036,000.
Locally?
It came from places other than just local, but I'm not a national candidate. I'm not an Alan West who has people contributing to him from all over the country because of his national exposure. Mm-hmm. I don't have national exposure. I know CEOs nationwide, and some of them I've called upon, but most of this money has come from local sources, and I'm very happy about that. And Jerry Connolly has got to be very, very concerned.
Well, it's a marquee race, and we'll be watching it all the way through next Tuesday. Keith, thanks for spending some time with us and coming in studio.
Fabulous. Great to be here. Thank you.
Keith Vimian is the Republican nominee for Congress in Virginia's 11th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.